Tim's back from Florida, not even looking that lobsterish. And Stacy's back from Paris after having a good time overseas.
Oh, oui, oui.
Why don't we start there? That was a great trip. It seemed like the players, the coaches, everybody had a lot of fun, including our own Stacy King.
Yeah, Mark, it was an awesome trip. Had 3 days off. Got a chance to see the Eiffel Tower. Got to go to all to see Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa is the name. We had a great time. I think all the players had a great time. They looked fresh. I was really surprised with the way they came out and played that game against Detroit. Had a lot of energy. They didn't look fatigued at all. Great having DeMar DeRozan back, and it was a good win. That's 2 wins in a row. Before we went out to Paris, we beat Golden State at home, so that was a big win for us. And Vooch had a huge game. So that's we're starting to look good now.
Let's get back to the Paris trip. I saw on your social media, posted a bunch of photos from the Eiffel Tower, different museums and stuff. You normally don't go out that much on the road, but you made a point to get to see all the sights in Paris with Adam and Mark Brady and some of the security guys.
Yes. No, we didn't go in the security guard, Mark, because we didn't need security.
Okay.
We don't need security. I'm a man of the people. Okay, I was voted one of the sexiest men in Paris. You don't need security when you're one of the sexiest men in Paris.
Well, sometimes it's exactly why you need security.
Yeah, we had a German escort. You know, we had a model. She escorted us around Paris. She's from Chicago. Her name is Susanna. Shout out to Susanna, who's right now in Mannheim, Germany. She went back to Germany, but she took us around Paris and showed us a good time, a real good time, real good time. I mean. No, come on, guys. Get your minds out the gutter.
Yeah, okay, Mr. Moulin Rouge.
No.
Hey, if you're watching the YouTube feed, you see the cover, Stacy in Paris.
Listen, it's like, hey.
Yeah, they sold 3 copies, I heard.
Wow.
Tim's ready to go. He's got his material.
There you go. He's been saving up that one. He's been waiting to say that.
All day.
Yeah, look at him. No, but seriously, though, we had a great time. It was a lot of fun because I went there, I think, when I was 25, and I didn't really appreciate all the things at that age. I didn't appreciate the artwork, the architecture, the buildings. You know, I didn't really appreciate like I do now that I'm in my 50s.
Yeah,
I have an appreciation for art. I have appreciation for, you know, the structures of the buildings and the history that went along with Paris. And so I really enjoyed this trip. And I didn't know, because I haven't been. I mean, I went there in 1993, so it's been a long time. So going there this time, things have changed. You know, the previous time I went there, you couldn't get up in the Eiffel Tower. They were doing construction. So to be able to get up into the Eiffel Tower, you know, as high as it was, oh man, woo, America. I mean, it's like Empire State Building. Seriously. Like, you know, there's still levels you can go up and they were doing construction, but where we were at, you know, they have a big, you know, circular, you know, path that you can walk around with telescopes. You can see the whole city of Paris. It's even better when the nights come up. You know, when the lights come up, we're walking out. No expectations. We were like, all right, we spent the whole day at the Eiffel Tower. It's really awesome, dude. Then the lights kick on. Boom. And then it makes the Eiffel Tower like gold. And then all of a sudden, it lights up like a Christmas tree. Like all these white lights. Boom, boom, boom. And it is one of the coolest things you'll ever see.
So while Stacy was in Paris, Tim was getting back from Fort Myers, Florida. Tell the folks about your adventures in Fort Myers, Florida.
Well, no more psychos. So yeah, that going.
You got rid of that guy?
Yeah, and then my neighbor insisted on taking down a tree with me.
Yeah.
Except he's 90 years old. Shows up early Sunday morning, sawing away. He's like, you don't need a chainsaw or anything. I got this. And telling me I'm doing it wrong, pulling the saw back out of my hands. And
he's just doing it manually with an old-fashioned saw?
Yeah, and then he's like, you can go back inside. I got this. I'm like, okay. So that was pretty impressed, though.
So how's the new home coming along?
Great. So all set, ready to roll.
So when Stacy and I want to go down there and then take advantage of it, you know, it's open, right?
We should head out next week.
Get away from this cold weather.
It's not going to happen, Mike. Don't listen to this guy. And this guy, the door will be locked.
There's a stun baton there.
You know what? If we even get up on the property, we'll be arrested. Don't even listen to that.
Yeah, I did put you on the do not let in list. But
see. You know what?
Well, craziness follows, Tim. You had a police chase in your neighborhood today?
Yeah, that'll be on the news tonight. So.
Yeah.
They didn't ask you for a comment?
Tell us a little bit about that, Tim.
And they apprehend the guy between my neighbor's house and my house.
Right.
And I guess there's 3 guys, but one of the guys ran on foot after crashing a Mercedes or something he was trying to steal. And I got on my Ring camera, one of the cops walking up screaming and saying,
hands up. Get your hands up, yelling. You know, and you know what I said, America. you know, the police came out there. They said, hey, you know, hey, put your hands up, you know. And hey, it was, no one got shot. No one got, the ambulance didn't come. You know, I don't know why, but it didn't happen.
It doesn't sound bad, does it?
I think it was Pava looking for his paycheck.
I don't know. All I know is that Ring camera was pretty cool. I like that ring. No wonder why when I come there, he doesn't answer the door. I always act like he's gone. He can see me in the Ring camera. Wow. Wow.
And you hear the click.
Yeah. Okay. So now I know that the Ring camera works. I'll be say, open the damn door, Tim. I know you see me.
That's right.
Tim's not just screening calls. He's screening visits as well.
Nice. You got to do what you got to do these days.
Larry the Lobster.
I just got renewed my concealed carry yesterday, too.
So. Oh, I tell you. Let's look at this hot sauce right here. I just want to sell this hot sauce, America. This is how red Tim is. If you're not seeing this right now, you may not be able to see the color right now, but this is as red as Tim is right now. He's about as red as this bottle right here.
It's not too bad.
So the Bulls are back from Paris, refreshed and rejuvenated. They've got four games coming up this week. If you're optimistic, Stacey, you could say they got a shot to win all of these and have a six-game winning streak.
You know what, Mark? Since you just brought that up, okay, I just got a complaint.
All right.
Okay, we flew 16, 17 hours back and forth, you know, for 5 days for one game. The NBA has no sympathy for any of us. You know, they just don't. And, you know, I'll probably get fined. I'll blame it on Tim. But at the end, you know, here we are now. We go 17 hours over to France, play one game, fly all the way back, took 9 hours to fly back. Okay. We got a game on Monday, back to back with Indiana and Atlanta, Monday and Tuesday, fly to Charlotte, then fly to Orlando for the weekend. It's like, how in the world are you going to make the Bulls after just going over there and having to do their responsibilities? Because it wasn't just playing basketball. You know, they had, you know, PR stuff they had to do over there. So you were working, you know, so and then to be able to have to come back and fly, you know, on the East Coast because you're still, you know, your mind's still stuck on the time change. You know, like I was going to bed, honestly, in France, like 6 a.m. You know, while you guys were, you know, I don't know what you were doing. It was an afternoon or something, but it was like 8 o'clock, I think, your time. And I was going to bed. I was trying to stay on true to Chicago time. But that failed after 2 days. That wasn't working. So, and I'm still, and I came home on Friday. We got in at 1 o'clock, but once we went through all customs, we got out of customs by four. We had to wait for our bags. So I wasn't at home until 5 o'clock. And you know what I did on my way home when I came home, Mark? You know, you think I would just go home, get into bed and relax? I went to the Future concert.
All right.
Yes. I took my kids to the Future concert. And I'm going to tell you something, America. That was the best decision I made. I mean, between taking naps in between acts, I had a pretty good time.
Naps in between acts.
Every time, because, you know, it took 30 minutes for the next act to come on. So I was like taking power naps, 30-minute naps. I had one of my boys wake me up when the next guy comes on, and then I wake up. So I did about four times, you know, but I had a really good time. I didn't know Future was that. I listened to Future's music, but I didn't know he was that good in concert. And they brought out Lil Durk. They brought out G Herbo. They brought out a lot of Chicago drill rappers, which was a surprise because they were not on the marquee. It was like Future and Friends. So it could have been anybody. In Atlanta, it was Lil Baby, and they had some other people. But they had ESTG, who's a big-time rapper out of Memphis. They had Lil Durk, G Herbo. Some female acts out of Chicago. I didn't really get their name. Lil Jeremy was on there. So they had a really, really good card.
Yeah, and obviously Tim that's not up to speed with some of those acts, right?
No, he just listens to Clay Aiken. You know, when Clay Aiken had a concert and Howdy Doody came to town, you know the ventriloquist, the little doll.
Yeah.
Tim was there. There was only three people. And Tim had a box
really,
seat.
He is really good, though.
Yeah, look at him.
One of the most underestimated acts of 2022.
Clay Aiken is that's what they call. We were in Vegas one time, right? We're playing this, playing craps.
Yeah.
And so Tim kind of gets into it with another guy, you know. So the guy's, hey, Clay Aiken, because he called him Clay Aiken. And so it kind of stuck on the trip. It was pretty funny, you know. And then, you know, there's a whole story to all that, but I don't want to get into it right now because what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas.
There was a big event going on in Paris. Derrick Jones Jr. got engaged, and it was all caught on videotape. That was a pretty nice moment.
Congratulations to DJ. He's a great kid, man. You know, so good to see him finally getting some consistent minutes, too. He's playing really, really well. You know, with Javonte being out, it's given him opportunity to get some meaningful minutes. And he's playing well. I mean, he had, I think he had four dunks in that game. Like, he was flying all over the place. And then I guess engagement will do that to you. You know, you just feel like you want to jump out of the gym after you get engaged. I don't know that feeling. I don't know that feeling, Mary, because I'm one of the 10 most sexiest bachelors, you know, in Chicago right now. So I don't know that feeling.
You're watching on YouTube. You see the photo of Derek Jones and his lovely fiance with the ring. A very nice moment for them. Obviously, everybody enjoyed the trip and they're back. And Billy talked about the fact afterwards that got a chance to do some things away from the basketball court as a team. Zach said he had a great time. He'd love to go back to Paris. So, you know, the hope is, like we've been talking about all year, could this be the thing that brings the team together and gets them on a surge where they can move up the standings in the East? Because they're only like three games out of sixth place right now.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, I said this all along with this team. I look at it to be liken it to what Boston went through last year in the first half. First half, Boston was, you know, they were talking about trading guys.
Yeah.
There was so much disarray in the locker room, but they figured it out in the second half and had one of the hottest, you know, teams in the second half of the season and parlayed that all the way to the finals. I can see the Bulls doing that. You know, they've got enough talent to win. When you look at the three guys, you know, DeRozan, LaVine, and Vooch, that's three guys every single night that can get you 25 or more every single night. Now, when all three of them are clicking at the same time, the Bulls are tough to beat, and it takes pressure off some of these younger guys. And what's going to notice is Patrick Williams has played pretty well, you know, for the last month. I mean, he's been the Bulls' most consistent outside shooter. Kobe White, can't say enough about him. Remember I told people in the very beginning before the season even started, everybody's talking about trade Kobe. What did I tell you, America? What did I tell you about the kid? I told you he was going to be better. I told you he was going to shoot the ball. I told you his handles are better. And now you look at him. He comes in there, he makes a huge difference. And he's kind of eaten into, you know, into the minutes of some of these other guards.
Right. So, Dragic isn't playing as much.
Yeah, Dragic. Well, they're trying to save Dragic. They don't want to utilize him so much, trying to keep him in that 20-25 minute range and try to keep him away from back to backs because they know where he's going to be add values in the playoffs.
I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, our buddy Jeff Vukovich. When it comes to insurance for your auto, home, and business, make sure you contact the king of insurance, our friend, nationwide agent, Jeff Vukovich. You can reach him at jeffvuk.com. That's jeffvuk.com. Are we going to give the Sriracha crew another shot? Or?
No, I'm giving it to Tim.
Tim's going to get Clay
Tim,
Aiken.
I got to refuse.
No.
I do.
Why? Because you're on a juice cleanse? That's another
we got
another fabrication of reality.
Let's not go there right now, Mark.
All right, Sriracha crew, you're up. All right. Oh, they've been practicing,
boy,
I guess.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy.
All right.
There we go.
Nation.
Oh, okay, God. I'm sorry, guys.
It should have been me.
Nationwide is on your side.
I think Steve Stone and Benetti just
let me tell you something. America. There's a reason why they're the third option. Okay, they're the third option in this singing groups that we have here. That was awful. We don't have a I just want to say that was awful. I think we may just have to make that a single person singing.
Yeah,
it might be D. Maybe. Francisco sounds like he lost his vocal cords in a crap meat. And, you know, Nick, I don't know. You sound like you've been eating cactus. So swallowing them. So I don't know. Dry throat. Dry. So
nationwide.
There you go.
Is on your side.
Woohoo! Oh, America, the Golden Pipes.
I'm sure Jeff Vukovich is saying thank you that Stacey rescued this segment.
Yeah, almost, make sure you tell you something.
Did y'all hear me say it?
I did.
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to throw that out there, America. I'm an international man. Okay. I'm worldwide.
Touchdown 49ers. We are coming at you on a Sunday evening while the 49ers and Cowboys
are. That's what I'm talking about.
Christian McCaffrey right up the gut for the go ahead touchdown. These we'll talk about the football games later, but it's been a boring weekend. Blowouts, not great football, but we'll get to that later. Before we bring in our special guest, you know, last live show we had with Eddie Johnson, the former Illini great, and he was a fantastic guest. This week, we've got Detroit Pistons analyst Greg Kelcer. He was the running mate with Magic Johnson on that 1979 championship team. He was the guy catching all the alley-oop passes from Magic Johnson and throwing down some really incredible dunks. So we're going to visit with Greg in just a couple of minutes. So let's take a look at the league as we get ready to bring him in. And Stacey, the hottest team right now has been the Denver Nuggets. They look like they're kind of pulling away from the field in the Western Conference. Long way to go, but it seems like that combination of Jokic and Murray and Porter Jr. is going to be pretty tough to beat out West.
Well, I've been saying this all along with this team. Once they're able to get Jamal Murray up to speed and he starts to play like he did, you know, like he did before he got hurt, which he's starting to do now. I think he had a triple-double the other night. Jokic is on his way for third MVP. Aaron Gordon is playing out of his mind. They're just the best team in the Western Conference right now. They're big. They're athletic. They can defend. They can score. They can shoot. You got a big man how you defend him? I mean, seriously, how do you defend Jokic? I mean, you can't put anybody on him. You put a small guy on him and try to frustrate him. When he brings the ball to the floor, he just overpowers you. He can score with either hand, and he's such a really like top-notch passer in their offense. I mean, they play through him, and he gets everybody easy shots.
Memphis had won like 10 or 11 in a row. That streak got snapped Friday night when they went into LA and they basically choked in the last 2 minutes and the Lakers won the game. But the big story in that game was the confrontation just before halftime where Shannon Sharpe was yelling at a couple of the Memphis players. And first of all, it was it Brooks that was the first guy involved? Yeah,
it was Dylan Adams. It was Dylan Brooks, and then it was T. Morant, which is John Morant's father. Yeah. And listen, I mean, at the end of the day, and we say this about regular fans too, they are entitled to say whatever they want. They pay their ticket. They pay their money. They can say whatever they want. Now, when they cross the line going from verbal to physical, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Okay. Shannon Sharpe, even though he's a former football player, Hall of Fame tight end, he paid for those seats. He's sitting in the front row. He can say whatever he wants to say.
Think he paid for those seats?
Well, it doesn't matter. He was there. Okay. He was sitting there marking. You weren't. Okay. So at the end of the day, he can say whatever the hell he wants to say. As long as he doesn't get up and put his hands on someone or like that, then so be it. But these guys, you know, these players, they got to understand, like, you know, you say something back to a guy like Shannon Sharpe. Shannon Sharpe's not your regular fan. This dude is like 6'5", you know, 240 pounds of muscle. Like, he got his earlobes have muscles in it. I mean, everything is muscle, you know? And he's not a guy to be messed with because he got that old man strength, too. He's like that. Look at that picture right there, America. See that picture?
Yeah.
That's what my dad looked like. That's what my dad looked like when I bowed up, like when I was 18 years old and I bowed up to him and I said, I'm a man. I don't have to do anything you tell me to do. And then my dad said, oh, you're going to learn today. And then he dropped the chicken. You know, he had the Kimbo sliced chicken in his beard. He just dropped the chicken and raised up for the table. And then all of a sudden, you know, Stacey's getting ready to get a two-piece. But I Usain Bolt out of the house, baby. Couldn't catch the king, baby. I was pew, pew, pew. I was gone.
And you know that Shannon Sharpe's always in a bad mood because he has to work with Skip Bayless every day. So if that doesn't put you in a bad mood, I don't know what would.
Well, he almost smacked him 2 weeks ago, which I was really hoping he would.
Yeah, after those crazy comments, he boycotted the show for one day.
Yeah.
Then he came back. And you know what, though? The checks are too big to walk away from that, but I'm sure if he had his druthers, he'd much rather have a different partner.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, as good as Shannon is on that show, you know, Skip Bayless has a lot of juice.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's why he's still on the air.
He could work it to where Shannon never worked for Fox again. He'd have to go to ESPN.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was the whole Shannon Sharpe thing was hilarious. And then after the third quarter, he and T. Morant were hugging already. So they it was all good.
T. Morant, a.k.a. Usher.
Okay. Yeah, he looks exactly like
him. You know, America, here's what I don't understand.
There's the hug.
Right there. There it is right there.
Hug it out.
Yeah, there it is. So here's what I don't understand. Like, is it so bright in the arena that you have to wear sunglasses?
His son's future is so bright. He's got to wear shades.
I've never understood how anyone can sit in the game with sunglasses on and watch sunglasses. I just watch a game with sunglasses on. Is it the cool factor? Like, I want to let everybody know I'm in the front row. And so if I wear sunglasses, they'll draw more attention to me. Or do you have glaucoma? I mean, is there a medical reason why you have the blue blockers on? I mean, you really got a problem. Put the blue blockers on. Okay. Walk out them big square, you know, Professor X. What's the guy named that shot the thing out of Cyclops?
Yeah, Cyclops.
You know,
shoot
the Cyclops thing, you know. I mean, come on, man. The sunglasses need to stop, man. That's terrible.
Hey, Greg Kelser's in the Sriracha waiting room, so we're not going to keep him waiting any longer. We're going to talk about the NBA, his trip to Paris. Of course, he was doing the TV work for the Pistons and the glory days back at Michigan State. That's next on Give Me the Hot Sauce. We're going to we're gonna delay the Christopher Walken hot sauce pitch in just a bit. That's coming up as well. So keep it right here. Welcome back to Give Me the Hot Sauce. Time to welcome in our special guest this week. He is Greg Kelser, the TV analyst for the Detroit Pistons. Our older listeners and viewers will remember his days at Michigan State as the running mate for Magic Johnson as they went on to beat Larry Bird for the 1979 NCAA championship, followed by a great NBA career. And he was also in Paris with Stacy over there when the Bulls played the Pistons. Greg, welcome into the show. How was Paris for you? Stacy just talked about all the sightseeing he did and had a great time. How was it for you guys with the Pistons?
Oh, likewise. We had a great time, too. We were there almost 5 days. And, you know, it gave us a chance to experience the lifestyle, the culture, appreciate the great city of Paris with all its history. I'd never been there before. I've been to Europe, but I'd never been to France. So for me, it was particularly, a thrill to get to do that. And at some point, we all had to realize that the Pistons and the Bulls that we were there to play a basketball game. But the 3 days prior to the game were a lot of fun. I actually climbed the Eiffel Towers as far as they would let us go. Anyway, they're doing some construction on it. But that was a highlight for me. We got a chance to go to the home of the ambassador, U.S. ambassador to France, to Paris, and that was a thrill. Had a night out at the opera. And then a basketball game, and then we flew back. And I'm still trying to kind of recalibrate myself.
Talk a little bit about the game and the experience, the game ops and everything that they put together. I kind of felt like it was an all-star caliber game because there was a who's list. We had Naomi Campbell out there. Magic was at the game. We had Little Baby. Pharrell was at the game. I mean, there was all these stars at the game, right. And it just felt like it was an all-star caliber feel.
You know what's funny, Stacey? Irvin Johnson, Magic didn't even know there was a game. He was there on business and to celebrate his wife Cookie's birthday.
Really?
And yeah, he was staying at the same hotel as our owner, Tom Gorse. And they ran into each other in the lobby and like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Well, you know, hey, we're here because there's a basketball game. What basketball game? Really? Okay, well, why don't you come on out? That's how it all started and ended for him. So he was able to do three or four things in one trip.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. And he ended up sitting right next to the commissioner in the front row. Magic doesn't have a tough time getting a good seat, does he?
No.
Just show up and you got front row, huh?
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Stacey can probably do that with three championship rings.
Hey, listen, you know, I'm just a man sitting next to the man, G. You know, I'm just, you know, hey, I just ride the coattails, baby, ride the coattails.
Hey, Greg, people forget that back when you and Magic were playing together at Michigan State, you were getting a lot of the headlines because you were the high-flying guy who was throwing down those alley-oop dunks, and people love watching you play. And Magic, of course, came in with a lot of fanfare into Michigan State, but you guys took Larry Bird down in the championship game, and that was one of the most watched college basketball games in history. What are your memories of that championship game against Bird and all the hoopla surrounding it?
Well, I'll back up to when we first got Urban. After my sophomore year at Michigan State, by today's standards, I could have probably been the second or third pick in the draft. Averaged 22 points and 11 rebounds a game at Michigan State in the Big Ten as a sophomore. But guess what? We were a 500 team, so who knew? Who cared? We get Urban, and now all of a sudden, my junior year, we make it to the regional finals, almost get to the Final Four, and everybody knows who Michigan State is. And then the next year we win it. So that's what he brought. He brought the opportunity to win. Stats be, you know, stats down the drain. Everybody's gonna get your stats when you're winning. And that's the thing that I'm most appreciative of my 2 years spent playing with Irvin Magic Johnson at Michigan State. We were one of the best teams in the country, and we were able to culminate it with a championship. And I think the thing that cements it in stone for us and in the memories of a lot of people, and even people who may not have even been living at that time because they played a game every year, you had Irvin and you had Larry, two of the greatest to ever play, two that are credited with bringing the NBA back to prominence, compete in that game. So it has shelf life. You know, it's been 43 years now since we played that game, but almost 44 years since we played that game, but it's still talked about like it happened 4 years ago. And you know, so I'm very proud to have been in it, to play a part in it, to have won it. And, you know, for me personally, it has helped. And I don't know, Stacey may feel the same way. When you're part of a winning team, when you're part of a championship. And his was at the NBA level. Mine was in college. But what it does, you're a champion forever. No one can ever take it away. And it will open some doors for you perhaps later on. I've been a broadcaster far longer than I've been a basketball player. And I got to believe that maybe being a part of that team has helped in many ways.
Talk about, because we all know, you know, how Magic Johnson's personality is, you know, and, you know, I remember seeing those games, you know, in that 79, you know, Final Four.
You're
and
then so you young, see, you were a young boy.
Yeah, yeah. So when he came on campus, like, yeah, what was the feeling? Because it seemed like he could have went anywhere he wanted to go. And talk a little bit about that. Like, what was his personality? Was it like what we see now that people see him, you know, when he was the Lakers, the smiling, you know, happy go lucky, but you know, the killer is there. You know, was he like he is now?
Much the same in terms of the competitiveness. And yes, he had the smile. He's always had that. He's always had that zest and zeal, the exuberance for playing basketball. And he's always won every place. I don't know that he's ever had a losing season, ever.
Wow.
When I met him, I was a senior in high school. He was a sophomore in high school. And Michigan State was recruiting us both with the idea that if we could, you know, if we get them both there, we could contend for a championship, maybe win one. And that was the selling point to me, being that I was 2 years early, 2 years older. Come, we're going to load this thing up and we'll be ready by the time you're a junior or a senior. When he got on campus, the thing that really impressed me was his acumen, his basketball knowledge. He was very, very smart. He was 17 year old at that time. By the time the season started, he was 18. But he came in as a leader. The leader that you saw that most people were familiar with him being a leader of the Lakers, the exact same thing he did at Michigan State. He came in with the idea of helping us win right away, making everybody a part of it, putting on a show, entertaining the crowds, be it on the road or at home, but most importantly, winning. And that's what we were able to do. That's what he brought. He had a confidence, he had a cockiness, but it was a good natured cockiness. As a competitor, he was second to none. He wanted to win in everything. And we let him lead. We let him lead. He and I were co-captains. We led, you know, differently. I did it more, you know, with my actions and the way I played, the way I worked out and the way I prepared. He did it with all of that. Plus, he was very, very boisterous.
Younger fans have gotten the chance to relive the Bulls dynasty through the documentary series that was put out, the 10-part series that came during the pandemic. And Magic Johnson has really blown up recently. He did like a 4-part series on Apple TV, some really revealing interviews. There was a series on the Lakers on Hulu. And then that crazy show on HBO called Winning Time, where they had actors playing the parts of basketball players. Did you see any of that? And did any of the Michigan State stuff surprise you with the liberties they took with reality?
I saw some of it. It is still on my watch list, the entire thing. I plan on binge watching it. I just haven't had the full 10 or 12 hours to do it just yet. But it's my intent on watching it. But I saw enough of it to know that there was some definite creative liberties. not just with the Michigan State time, also, you know, that whole Laker thing. I was close enough to it to say, that didn't happen. That's not how that went. But I tell you what, and a lot of people understood that who were watching it, they didn't care. They were entertained by it.
Right.
And that's what mattered.
Talk a little bit about your big game against Notre Dame, because I look back at some of my big games in the tournament, and that's where you really want to have your big games. You had 34 mm-hmm. points, I think 13 rebounds against Notre Dame, which had like four NBA guys on there. Bill Hanslick, you had Orlando Woolridge was on that team. Bill Lane Beer was on that team. And then Kelly Tribuca was on that team. A little bit about that game, because I saw some video, baby. I said, oh, baby, look at G. He over there dunking on everybody. He got like four or five dunks running the floor like a gazelle.
Well, you know what? That I remember. That was our best game, even better than the championship game. And it was pretty well thought that the winner of that game probably would win it all. Notre Dame had gone to the Final Four the year prior. And I think they lost to Duke in the Final Four, and then Duke lost to Kentucky. We lost to Kentucky that year by 3 points, or we would have been in the Final Four that year too. But Notre Dame was a team unlike today, guys, when, you know, every game is on TV all over the country, it wasn't like that in 1979. You may have been lucky enough to get two or three regular season games on television, on national TV, and then whatever you might get in the tournament. But you had to get to the tournament first. Well, Notre Dame, they were on TV all the time. Notre Dame and UCLA, they were the two exemptions. They played all the time. So we watched these guys and we're like, you know what, we're every bit as good or better. And we love to play them. So when we got the, and then the final, I guess the final little salt in the wound was when the brackets came out and we were in the same regional, in the same region, and they were ranked, they were a number one seed. We were a number two seed in the Midwest, Mideast regional rather. And so, you know, we knew that, you know, we looked at it and said, okay, we're going to meet these guys in the regional final. We're going to meet these guys for the right to go to the Final Four. And that's exactly how it played out. We were pumped for that game. We were pumped for that game. So much so, I remember me personally, I missed my first four or five shots in a row. And then I made like 15 of the next 16. So,
wow.
You know, it was a great game for us, a great showcase for us. It demonstrated our ability to get up and down the floor. We were a running team. And, you know, Stacey, the teams you play in your conference, they can figure out a way to, you know, take some of that away. And you play these little grind out games and all of that. But then the minute you get to the tournament and you're playing these teams that aren't as familiar, and you can really open it up.
Yeah,
that's what we were able to do against Notre Dame. We opened it up and it was incredible. And I still, you know, I remember Al McGuire and Dick Enberg on the call. They did a fantastic job with that game.
Oh, I would urge all, or if anybody's a historian of the game and you love college basketball and you're a big fan of college basketball, go back. It's on YouTube. Go look it up. It's the 79. It was a game before the Final Four, right? You guys won that region to get to the Final Four, right?
That was the victory that put us into the Final Four in Salt Lake City.
Uh-huh. You got, and you were the most outstanding, the MOP they call it, the MOP, the most outstanding. Yeah, yeah. I got one of those too, G. I got one of those Southeast region.
I remember you very well in college, man. I was pulling for you guys so much, and I actually thought you were a fantastic player too. And I thought that I thought you were going to be the number one player taken in the draft that year, but things worked out. You went to the right team.
Oh, baby. I didn't win a championship at the college level. We got to this.
I didn't win one at the NBA level or two or three. I was a big Stacey King fan, I'll tell you that.
I appreciate that, G. I appreciate it. One more. So before we get off the Michigan section, we're going to get on Detroit. What was it like playing for Judd Heathcote? Like, what was that experience like? Because he's considered one of the you know, best coaches in Big Ten history, one of the best coaches in college basketball. Talk a little bit about your relationship with him and him as a coach.
I played 3 years for Judd Heathcote. I was recruited to Michigan State by Gus Kanakis, the then head coach. And I was so impressed with Gus Kanakis. I don't know if anybody has done what I did in terms of, I signed with Michigan State. I'd never seen the place. You know, I grew up in the military. I'm not from Detroit, but Detroit has been my home for the last 40 some years. My dad was in the Air Force. He was from Detroit. And when he finished his 20 years in the Air Force, we moved to Detroit. So I got three straight years in the same high school, which was key. Prior to that, I'd gone to 10 schools in 9 years all over the country and abroad. Wow. I started playing basketball in Okinawa. When Gus Kanakis and his staff began recruiting me, they were so impressive in terms of the, you know, the way they came and really embraced my entire family. They really recruited my parents, you know, and my parents were like, this is where you ought to go. And I fully agreed with them. And I signed with Michigan State. I'd never seen the campus. I'd never been to East Lansing, Michigan. I did take a visit shortly after I signed, but I wanted to play for Gus Kanakis. So you can imagine, I was devastated when he was let go after my first year. My first year, we were picked to finish ninth in the conference. We finished fourth in the conference. So we exceeded all expectations, and they still let him go. And they brought in Judd Heathcote from Montana, University of Montana, where he'd had a lot of success, but none of us knew who he was. And so he came in, and it was the total other end of the spectrum from what we had grown accustomed to with Gus Kanakis. So it was definitely a major, major adjustment that had to be undertaken. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy because Joe was he was hard-nosed. He was a ball buster. He was my way or the highway guy. And there wasn't room for many mistakes or errors. So I have to admit that, you know, for a while, getting used to that basketball for the first time was not a whole lot of fun for me. because he was pounding every day. But, you know, I came to understand and realize there was a method to his madness, that he really understood the game. He knew how to coach. He was a great X's and O's guy. And if you listened and worked hard and maybe didn't hone in so much on how the message came, but what the message was actually trying to impart, you could get better. And that's what I did. And of course, when we got Urban, that made it a whole lot easier for everyone. He helped me to become a better player. He helped me to become a first round draft pick in the NBA. He helped me to become a champion on the college level. And knowing all I know and how difficult it was maybe to play for him, I would do it all over again. And that's the biggest compliment I think you can give anybody. Knowing all you know, would you do it again? I'd do it again. Judd Heathcote was a great coach.
Greg, we had...
And he was a great friend after I was done playing for him.
Really? You had a good relationship afterward. That's what you like to hear. That's what you like to hear, you know, and I know parents like to hear that because, you know, once you get done with your 4 years, some coaches don't really care what you do unless you're a first round pick and you're in the NBA. Right. But some of those kids don't make it to the NBA. So it's good to know that, you know, if a guy didn't make it to the NBA, that a coach still loves him just as much as he did when he played for him. And you hear that a lot about coaches.
Judd Heathcote died at the age of 90 in 2017. And in 2016, he you know, once he finished coaching at Michigan State, he moved to Spokane, Washington. That was his home. In 2016, a bunch of us Spartans got on airplanes and we flew out for a weekend in Spokane just to hang out with Coach. I'm talking, you know, Scott Skiles, Steve Smith, Sean Respert, so many Spartan players, Tom Izzo, you know, the coach, managers. We all descended upon Spokane to spend a weekend with Coach, just really to say thank you. We had a ball out there, a blast. And then, of course, you know, a year later, he passed away, and we were all there for his funeral. So he had an impact, a large impact on many of us.
Greg, I want to touch briefly on your NBA career. We had Eddie Johnson on our last show, a contemporary of yours, and he talked about the fact that he was an all-Big Ten player. He got drafted in the second round by Kansas City, and he was kind of overwhelmed by some of the things he had to learn to become successful at the NBA level. He talked about going to Pete Newell's big man camp to learn footwork. What was that adjustment like for you in going to the Pistons and trying to make your mark as an NBA player?
Well, the most difficult thing for me was and I think for most players coming out is the rapid fire schedule that you're faced and having to play so many games in such a short period of time. And I guess in a way, learning how to deal with, not accept, but deal with losing, because you know, I lost more games in my first year with the Pistons than I lost in my life. And up to that point. And it wasn't easy. But it was a thrill in terms of being able to put my skill against the best in the world and do it on a nightly basis. And you had to be ready. Otherwise, you're going to be in for a long nights, and you're going to, you know, perhaps get embarrassed. You had to come ready to play. The toughest thing for me was when I got injured. I mean, I could have been an NBA All-Star. And, you know, my second year in the league, I think 10 or 12 games in, you know, I was at all-star numbers, 7 or 8 rebounds a game, 22 points a game. This is 10 games in. When I suffered a knee injury that changed my whole basketball life, I was able to have surgery, a couple of surgeries, and push on for another 4 or 5 years. But I was never quite the same. But, you know, I regret it? No, I don't regret it because I got hurt playing hard as I possibly could. I wish I hadn't gotten hurt. I wish I would have loved to have been able to see what my, you know, what a 10 or a 12, 15 year career could have netted for me. Maybe a couple of championships, maybe some all-star appearances. Who knows? But the one thing I always say is that the game owes you nothing. You know, we all go and we play and we try and get the most out of it. And some go far, others don't quite get as far. But, I think for me, the biggest thing that I have gotten out of it is the career I have after basketball. You know, that would not have happened had I not had the success maybe as a player. So I'm very, very thankful for what the game has given me. But I'd say for most players coming in, when I came in and even now, it's just learning the game, how to play it at that level, how to to defend. That's one of the major adjustments that young players have, you know, coming in, how to defend and how to be even adequate defensively. And then, you know, staying healthy and trying to have as long a career as you possibly can. Don Chaney, you guys remember the great Don Chaney?
Yep.
Don Chaney was an assistant coach when I was with the Pistons, and I'll never forget, he told me, he says, Greg, stay in the league as long as you can. Stay in the league as long as you can. Now, I thought he was talking about as a player. But I'll say that now to somebody in, you know, in any capacity, get in the league, stay in as long as you can, make the most of it. And I've been affiliated with the NBA now for almost 45 years.
Wow. Wow. You know what? It's funny because we talk about this Piston team. We're going to switch gears and talk about this young Piston team. And the one thing that I've noticed the last couple of years is that, you know, ever since, you know, Dwayne Casey's been there, you know, they're building through the draft. You know, they're building, going with the young players, you know, and trying to surround that young talent with some seasoned veterans that can, you know, that can still play, not guys just waving towels, but guys that can actually go out there and perform. And I'm impressed with them. Like, I mean, if Cade Cunningham doesn't get hurt, I think that Detroit team is a lot better than what we've seen. I'd like to see him and Jaden Ivey play together. I think that's going to be a dynamic backcourt for the next 10 years if they are able to stay together. And you guys are building in the right direction. It's going to be pretty scary in a couple of years when you guys get some seasoning under your belt.
We'd like to think so, Stacey. Obviously, the plan this year was not to be, competing for some lottery spot. You know, we were expecting to win and maybe compete for a play-in spot at the very least. But the loss of Cade is humongous. I mean, humongous. I can't tell you what a big blow that has been. But as we, you know, talked about yesterday when we were on the phone, you know, the decision was made, and I think it was the right decision to go ahead and have the surgery on his shin, get it out the way so that, you know, he can go on from here and hopefully have an injury-free long career. But, you know, we are young, and when everybody's young at the same time in this league, it does take some time to first learn how to compete on a nightly basis, and then finally how to win. We're learning how to compete, how to be competitive. What we're having a problem with is just winning on a consistent basis. I mean, we're in games and we have a shot at it in the fourth quarter, and then something goes wrong, as you know, can be the case a lot of times with young teams, and we end up losing games. But the one thing I will say, and I've been in these situations both as a player and as a broadcaster, and it's easy when teams are not having the success that they envision to fall apart, point fingers, all that stuff. There's been none of that with the Pistons. These guys, they like being around each other. They work hard. They work after practice. They work, you know, lifting weights after games. They have fun on the bus, on the plane. They're together. They've stayed together. And that's the one thing I can say has been really good for them. There has been no dissension. They all know what they're in it for, and they're all patient, and they're all working hard, and they've never stopped keeping the eye on that goal.
All right, Greg, buckle up. The third member of our podcast team, the great Tim Kelly, always does research on our guests, and he comes up with a question that may or may not make any sense. So, Tim, what do you got for Greg today?
All right, Greg, can you tell us a story about yours and Magic's matching Mercedes that you guys got your senior year?
Oh, baby, is there a statute of limitations? Oh, baby, NCAA, don't listen, baby. Turn off the show. Well, way to try to get him in trouble, Tim.
That's right.
No. Well, here's the deal on that. And so Urban and I and Jay Benson, you know, we were Jay wasn't going to come out. We knew Urban was coming out after the season was over. And we always talked about, you know, either getting a Mercedes or getting a Cadillac or something like that. And once we won the championship, it was like, man, I like Mercedes. And Urban's like, I like it too. So we went about the business of trying to put the best deal we could put together, you know, to buy a pair of these vehicles. And we went to the local dealership in Lansing. And believe it or not, this guy didn't want to deal with us. He was willing to sell us vehicles, but at sticker price, full price. And, you know, Urban and his agent had a much better deal in Chicago waiting, and I had a much better deal with my academic advisor, who was from Cleveland. He had put together a really good deal in Cleveland. So Urban went to Chicago and saved 15% on the vehicle, which was a lot of money. And I went to Cleveland and got mine, and we came back to Lansing. And we met, and, you know, they started taking pictures, and we went to a basketball court, and we parked them on a basketball court and shot some hoops around it and everything. All the folks came out of the dorms and everything. It was just like a big, big Showtime party or something. The next day, the AP wire had picked that picture up, and it was all over the country. And it was under the heading, "This is what future NBA dollars can buy you," because we were both still in school, but we were done with our eligibility. So it was okay to get those vehicles. We didn't have any money. Our agent set the deal up, and we started paying on them after we got drafted. But man, it was nice being 21 years old and Urban 19, and we're riding around in shiny brand new Mercedes.
We got the picture up right now, Stacy, on YouTube of the matching Mercedes. Yeah.
Well, NCAA is online one. They want to talk to Timmy Whispers and find out where he got that information from.
At Oklahoma, you could get that Mercedes at the beginning of the college.
Hey, you know what? I ain't gonna lie, G. I took a pay cut when I came to the league. I'm upset about it. NCAA statute of limitations, baby, can't come back and get us. With the NIL now. With the NIL? Yeah, I know how that feeling is. Wayman, when I came to Oklahoma, and I'd signed with them in the summer, and Wayman decided to go pro his senior year. So they had just came off the Elite Eight. They lost to Memphis in the Dallas Southeast region and missed going to the Final Four. And Wayman told me he was, he wasn't coming back. You know, he wasn't coming back to Oklahoma. He's going to go pro. And I remember him having the first El Dorado I'd ever seen. You know, it was clean. And I remember him driving that El Dorado in front of the girls' dorm and honking the horn, and all the girls came out. And that's when I knew I was coming to this school. I was glad I signed with Oklahoma, baby. Oh, Lord. I got the Wayman Tisdale plan, baby. I'm sorry, NCAA.
Let me ask you a question, Stacey. Wayman, you know, he was a legend.
Yep.
But did you know he was so musically talented at that time, or did that come later?
No, he had been musically talented. He played in his dad's church as a young boy. So even when he was at school, he had a bass. Now you got to remember, he's left-handed. So, you know, they didn't have basses back then for left-handed people. You know, so he had to learn how to play it a different way. And it's really super musically talented, man. I mean, he'd just sit there and you'd be in the room with him. He'd be strumming away. It was an amazing thing. So then when he decided that that's what he wanted to do and go into music, it didn't surprise any of us who knew him in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was fantastic. I still have all his stuff and, you know, definitely gone too soon.
Yeah, he's not only one of the coldest players in the history of basketball, but one of the nicest people. He's always been my mentor since I was in high school. You know, he took me under his wing. You know, we're both left-handed. We played for the same, you know, AAU team. And, you know, he took me under my wing probably when I was about a junior in high school. You know, and I used to go up to Norman and hang out in his dorm. I used to think that was the coolest thing because, like, you know, you up there with this superstar, this dude dropping 67 on people, you know? And I remember going on visits, and people, when they found I was from Oklahoma, that's all they wanted to talk about was Wayman. Man, is Wayman dropping 50, 60? I remember Lynn Bias asked me, is Wayman as good as what they're saying he is? I was like, man, he's better. He's better, dude. That dude's unstoppable. And would have been the first four-time first team consensus All-American had he, you know, stayed his senior year.
Oh yeah. Oh, no question about it. By the way, our march to the championship in 79, we played your coach in our second game, I think, on Tubbs.
Billy Tubbs.
Yeah, he was at Lamar.
Y'all beat him. Obviously you beat him. Did you beat him bad?
We beat them bad. The funny thing is, they played the University of Detroit in their first game. We had a bye, and they beat Detroit. They upset Detroit. Detroit had Terry Durod, Earl Cureton.
Oh wow!
And they got on television, and two of their big stars from the game talked about, okay, well, we We just knocked off Detroit. We'll get Michigan State next, and we'll be done with the state of Michigan.
Wow. Yeah.
That's all we needed to hear.
And that's how Tubbs was. Tubbs was a brash dude. I remember winning the first time in Kansas, in Lawrence, Kansas, for the first time in like 5 years. And and it wasn't even for the conference leader. And it was just a regular conference game. There were still about 15 games going conference. And he said, hey, go get some scissors and go cut the nets down. So we was like, looking at him like, what? Go cut the nets down. He said, yeah, go out there and cut them damn nets down. We won. So we, I'm like a freshman. I'm like, I'm going to cut the net down. So I'm going out there with these older dudes, man. People throwing things at us, trying to hit us in the head. I mean, they would not let us cut the nets down. Police came and escorted us off. But it was that kind of attitude that, like, we liked his players. Like, he really stood up. He really stood up for his players, man. And you know, a funny thing too, in that 79 tournament, Oklahoma lost to Indiana State, to Larry Bird's team. So Oklahoma was in that. It was in that tournament as well. And then Tubbs ended up going over there the next year.
Hey, Greg. Speaking of those brackets, what do you think about when Obama was first in office and he was doing his brackets on national TV and said, "I got to go back to the good old days with Magic, Bird, and Kelser."
You know what? Somebody called me that morning, woke me up, and said, "Hey, did you hear? You got a shout out from the president." I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
that was stunning for me. That was stunning. I so appreciate it, though. Yeah, I was a new kind of celebrity for a few days after that. Now, that was tremendous. But you know what? It I think at the time he was probably 17, and probably one of his childhood memories that he'll never forget. And we all have them. We all have them.
Well, I'll tell you what, G, you're one of the best in the business, man. I'm glad to call you a friend, and I appreciate you coming on and taking the time. We're back to work tomorrow.
Yes, we got Milwaukee.
We got Atlanta, and then we got back-to-back with Indiana in Indiana. We go on a 4 or 5 day road trip. So off the road to being back on the road.
There it is. Well, Stacey, I appreciate you, man. Anytime you want me on, just give me a call. I admire you. I enjoy your work, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yes, sir. And Greg, Stacey's a big business and what's the right word?
Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur.
It's a French word.
He's got his own signature hot sauce. So we're going to send you some of those bottles your way so you can sample the best hot sauce in the business.
Now I got Tim's name, and your name is?
Mark.
Mark and Tim.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, enjoy being on here with you as well.
Thank you.
Maddie's going to get your address to send this, my signature hot sauce. Trust me, it'll be some of the best hot sauce you have ever tasted.
Boy. I love hot sauce. I look forward to that.
I'm looking forward for you getting it. Give me your review.
I will.
Greg Kelser, our special guest on Give Me the Hot Sauce. We're coming back. We'll talk a little bit of football and what we're watching on TV. That's next on Give Me the Hot Sauce. Well, you heard our special guest, Greg Kelser, can't wait to get his shipment of Stacey's special hot sauce. And, we got a special guest to tell you about how you can get your bottles as well. Christopher Walken, back from Fort Myers.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
We missed you last show.
I doubt it. I mean, there was no fanfare at all. No one cared. All right. Are you looking to score some of the hottest sauce in the game? Well, you're in luck. We've got all the sauce your kitchen needs from Chicago Fire 1871, the hottest of the bunch. To our king's favorite, St. Pat's Verde. Give Me the Hot Sauce has got you covered. Stop by GiveMeTheHotSauce.com. Use code KING21 to get 21% off your first order.
It's good to have you back, Chris.
Thanks.
So what was Whispers doing on Fort Myers? Did he package any hot sauce when he was down there?
He was packing something. It wasn't hot sauce.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is a rated G channel, buddy.
I was talking about his concealed carry.
Oh. You got concealed carry?
I do.
Well, you got to when you're a big star like Christopher Walken.
That's right. You never know when you got to whack somebody.
Do you have it now?
That's right.
Maybe you need to go to a different room, Christopher Walken. He's on this little raw. Show Christopher Walken. Show the little raw diet you're on. He's cleansing America because he's tired of getting packed with hot sauce. So he's decided to cleanse.
You can do the hot sauce cleanse too. If you drink enough of that, believe me,
it'll clear out your system. Just like whispers. Just like whispers.
It's good for you. Don't look at me, D. You're next.
Hey, the last NFL playoff game is in the books. The San Francisco 49ers hung on to beat the Dallas Cowboys 19-12. none of the games were particularly exciting this weekend. Some people call it the best weekend in sports. We get the four semifinalists going head to head, but the Patrick Mahomes got hurt, and that game wasn't that great. Giants got destroyed by the Eagles, and the game Buffalo didn't really play well this afternoon either. So it was kind of a weird semifinal round.
I'll tell you what, give Cincinnati credit. They went into Buffalo in the snow and won that game.
Oh, they played well.
Completely dominated the Buffalo Bills, which I don't think anyone thought was going to happen. All right? Joe Burrow is the real deal.
He's the man. Yeah.
He's the real deal. Yeah, Joey B, he's the real deal.
Joe Cool. Get some more fur coats.
Joe Cool. Yeah, get some more fur coats coming there with the chain on in Kansas City. He's going up against Patrick Mahomes, who's not 100%. And they could win that game because it's not like.
Well, they beat him last year in Kansas City.
Listen, Kansas City does not. You don't fear Kansas City now, especially with Patrick Mahomes not being 100%.
If he can't scramble,
I think he's got a third-degree sprain, they said. High ankle sprain.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. A high ankle sprain is no joke. It's not like they can wave their magic wand and 7 days later he's going to be better.
And the thing about Patrick Mahomes is because he moves around the pocket so much and really extends plays, that is going to really limit his ability to do those things and to evade a rush. You know, I mean, Cincinnati's got a pretty good, solid defense, you know, so especially in the front four, they could put a lot of enormous pressure on him. They could blitz because they know that he can't move around.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to use some bubble screens. I'm sure Andy Reid's going to have a game plan to go against what they're going to face against Cincinnati.
And there's no fear factor for the Bengals going in there because they beat them last year. Matter of fact, they've beaten them three times in a row, counting regular season games. So they're going to go into Kansas City, and they're going to feel like, hey, we're the favorites in this game against the Chiefs.
Well, as long as you got Joe Cool there. I mean, that kid exudes confidence. And, you know, Jamar Chase is an excellent Higgins is another great receiver. And then Joe Mixon was the reason why they run today.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Mixon, Boomer Sooner Joe. Shout out to the Sooner boy. I think he had over 105 yards rushing and really kept, Buffalo's defense on the field and their offense off the field.
The Eagles look great in just dismantling the New York Giants on Saturday night. And 49ers got through with Brock Purdy, but that was probably one of his less impressive efforts. Of course, he was the last pick in the draft this year and has done a magnificent job getting them as far as he has. How do you look at that San Francisco-Philadelphia matchup?
First of all, America, I just want to say the Cowboys need to make a quarterback change. They need to get a new quarterback. Dak Prescott is just not doing it for them.
He was good last week against Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. Come on, man. Everybody's, listen, Dak Prescott threw two interceptions today. They were costly interceptions. His inability to move the ball down the field. I mean, CeeDee Lamb was open in full stride, blew right by the cornerback. All you had to do is throw it up there and let it run underneath it. Couldn't even get it there. And then the biggest problem I have with Dak Prescott is you are supposed to be a dual threat quarterback. You are no longer a dual threat quarterback. You have now just regulated yourself to be the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, because all you do is stay in the pocket. Sometimes in these situations, man, you got to move. You got to get out and run and get that first down. You can't keep trying to look for an open man. I mean, keep your eyes up the field, but when you got lanes to run, you got to run. Get the 10 yards, get out of bounds, slide, do whatever you got to do. It's almost like he's afraid. Me and Tim were talking about it. It's almost like he's afraid because he's been hit so many times that he refuses to run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're also going to be in the market for a new kicker as Brett Maher really hurt them in the postseason, although it was not. He did miss an extra point that was blocked, but that was not a deciding factor in the game on Sunday night. Hey, Tim, your guy, Drew the Water Guru, Stacy sent something out on the group text with him doing his little spiel.
Oh, yeah, talking about Forever Chemicals.
Do we have that?
Do we have it,
guys?
He puts out these videos all the time.
Has he got like millions of followers?
He's got eight followers. Eight followers. And it's his family, his children's friends. That's not eight followers.
But when I was watching, I'm thinking, okay, he's practicing. And then now we'll do the real one, you know?
I saw him, he had a white beater on with, he had hair on hair on his shoulders. He had like a marinara sauce stain on his shirt. So, I mean, I'm like, and he's trying to sell water. I'm like, I wouldn't buy water from this guy. Where'd he get it from? Where'd he get the water from, the toilet?
But you listen to what he was talking about, the Forever Chemicals?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he does give good information. It's kind of scary.
Chief Little Legs, if you're out there listening, because I know you are, hey, man, we love you, man.
Yeah.
Listen. Just put a shirt on next time.
So tell the folks about Angel Water Whispers. Come on.
Oh, man. Read it, Tim.
All right. There's a
after,
lot.
After we destroyed
yeah, after him. After we destroyed our, his best friend. He destroyed his best friend. Just lost another sponsor.
Sorry, Drew, the water guru. There's a lot of nasty crap in Chicago water.
There and, you go.
That's why we only drink the high-quality Angel water with no forever chemicals in it right here. Here in the Hot Sauce Studios. Stay hydrated all year long with
and
water
it is
you can
hot
trust.
In the Hot Sauce Studios.
It is. Very it's
hot.
Toasty.
It's hot.
It could be those sweaters you guys are wearing.
Well, it's freaking cold outside. What do you think?
Yeah, but it's not cold in here.
Well, you want us to walk around with a woman beater and a wife beater on in here? I mean, what are you
I
talking about?
I think we
about?
Should try that one, Joe.
No, it's hot as hell in here, man.
Tank tops.
Oh, my God. I'm like Frosty the Snowman in Vegas at a pool party. Jesus.
Call 847-382-7800 to get your water tested for free today by Drew the Water Guru.
Drew, I need another bottle of water, please. I'm dying out here, man. I'm dying. I'm this slow death. I drink. Look, this is so good. I drink it.
Look, there he is on the bottle.
It's hot in here, man. It's getting hot in here.
Time for our favorite segment, What Are We Watching? Brought to you by none other than Biggers Mazda.
Biggers!
Their sizzling new Elgin location at Randall Road is the biggest Mazda store in the state of Illinois. Recently celebrating their grand opening, Biggers is offering a bottle of Stacy's signature hot sauce with the first test drives of new or pre-owned vehicles. Your choice, everything from the coolest SUVs to a stunning Miata. Come join the fun at 2100 Randall Road in Elgin at Biggers Mazda.
Biggers!
Of course, Stacy's been in Paris. Really haven't had a chance to... Did you ever finish the half season of Yellowstone? Did you get through that yet?
No.
All right. Well, I won't give you any spoilers.
No, don't say anything.
Oh, Mark. Remember that one part, Mark?
Yeah, that was amazing. Like Chris Farley. Remember the time? That was awesome.
That was awesome.
So, Whispers, you got something that you can sell to folks, huh?
Well, I did Avatar 2 like Stacey
just did.
Okay. Did
and yes,
did.
Avatar 2.
But what's really disturbing is that show White Lotus. I watched the first season, now in the second one.
Yeah.
Because people were talking about it. Wow.
Did you see on Saturday Night Live yesterday they did Black Lotus?
No.
With Aubrey Plaza was the host? It was hilarious.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was
go
funny.
Back and
check
see
that.
That
out. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you watched that?
White Lotus?
Yeah.
I got through two episodes, just didn't care for it.
No, that's the thing. I'm like, this has to go somewhere. So I kind of force myself to. Yeah. And then it does get really kind of intense and just completely off the rails. And because of where it goes, it is actually worth watching.
Yeah, it's. I started watching
it. It's disturbing.
It's it's very disturbing.
It's got a good following, though. You know, people enjoy it.
It's a dark comedy, too. You have to recognize that because you have to laugh. I mean, some of the stuff, the husband is.
Steve Zahn.
Yeah, he just kills me. And the stuff he says to his kid and stuff. Funny. Yeah, he kills.
You got anything for the folks, Stacey? I know you've been out of the country, you really probably haven't been watching much TV.
Well, I went to go see Avatar 2 today. And how many years was it between the two?
About 100.
Man, it seems like it's been a long time.
Yeah, and they didn't age, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but we do.
I know.
We aged, okay? But I think it was over 3 hours.
And then Sigourney Weaver playing a kid. That was kind of bizarre.
That was kind of weird.
Yeah, but it worked.
Yeah, okay. Well,
sort of.
But it was good, though. It was a three-hour movie. It was good. Saw it over at Star Grill. Shout out to Star Grill.
Your guy's back there. I saw him the other day.
Yeah, but he wasn't there today. It was terrible service. I'm just going to throw that out there. It was terrible service today. My waiter was bad and the service was bad. But if my man was there, it wouldn't have happened. So I'm going to throw that out there. Shout out to Star Grill. You know you probably won't sponsor us now, but I don't care. Okay? So I saw Avatar. And then second is The Woman King. Get my second one up there, guys. The Woman King. I'm going to tell you something. If you have not seen this movie, check it out. This is an awesome movie. This is kind of like the Black Panther, but without the costume.
Yeah.
This lady here is the head, like the general of the king's army. And it's all nothing but women. And so these women, they go in and they do these missions and they go, you know, they fight men. You know, they're fighting the Westerners. And I'm telling you, man, it's a great story. It's a lot of action. I suggest people to go see that. And, it's worth it. It's really, I forgot her name. What's the name of the actress right there? Do you know?
We'll get the Hot Sauce Crew on.
Yeah, the Hot Sauce Crew. They're looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Hey, I found a show that was a lot of fun to watch called The Recruit on Netflix, about a young attorney who's looking for something more exciting. So he joins the CIA as he's supposed to be a lawyer for the CIA.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets thrown out into the field. And he gets in this high level controversy, you know, trying to get this Russian prisoner not to drop a dime on the CIA. It's really twisted, but there's a lot of humor in it, which makes it a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of these shows kind of follow the same formula, but he's got a bunch of his coworkers. He's the new guy. Obviously, you can see by the photo how young he is. And they're all trying to sabotage him. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of humor along the way.
Yeah. I was talking to Francisco. He was watching To Catch a Predator because he was on episode 17.
Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen caught him. Chris Hansen caught him.
You know who I am?
Sir, why are you there with that Mount Prospect tight t-shirt on?
I don't know why Nick's laughing. He was on What Would You Do With John Quiñones?
There's the hot sauce crew.
That's the hot sauce crew right there. Chris Hansen popped out of the kitchen. He said, what are you doing with that tight t-shirt on you had in the ninth grade? Well, Chris, is it okay if I leave? Yeah, you can leave. As soon as he walked out the door, he got mobbed by like 8 police officers.
We have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is the girl you're talking to isn't showing up.
Seriously, no, America. He wasn't on To Catch a Predator, but I love that show. Yeah. Dude, I love that show, man. I love Chris Hansen when he pops out of nowhere. You know, the little girl goes, I'll be right back. I've been checking on the cookies. And then the guy come in here and he goes, just make yourself comfortable. And the guy starts taking his clothes off. He's sweating. It's hot, like in this room. It's hot. He's sweating. And then all of a sudden, Chris Hansen pops out of his little suit. So, John 7274241, what are you doing? Why are you here? Oh, I was just here to, you know, they said it was going to be a party. Do you see any people? I love Chris Hansen, man. Seriously. Until he got caught doing something. Chris Hansen got caught doing something. Somebody caught him. So sorry, Chris Hansen. I didn't want to tell everybody that, but you did get caught doing something.
Whoa, hey, next show, we're going to have to get Mike's. What is he watching? You're Windy City Driver.
Oh boy, yeah. Mike is getting ready to go to the Springsteen concert. He's going to, you know, he's a big Bruce Springsteen fan.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike listens to Bruce Springsteen all the time. I don't got Mike tonight.
You don't have Mike.
I drove Sheila myself, baby. Oh. I was at the movie, baby. I had to drive myself. So Mike is going to the Bruce Springsteen concert. He's going to one in. There's one in Tampa Bay. There's one overseas, and I think it's Paris. I think it's in France. He's going there. So shout out to my man Mike.
Business is good for Mike.
Yeah, but business is booming.
Yeah,
he's working for me tomorrow because he's going to take me to the game tomorrow night. He's going to pick me up and take me to the airport. He's going to pick me up on Saturday when I come. He was there for me when I came home from France.
Nice.
He had a Lou Malnati's pizza waiting for me.
Not a half a chicken?
No. He texted me, said, hey, I'm going to pick you up. You want me to grab you a Lou Malnati's? Like a small one.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. He got one too, right?
Nice.
And so he ate his before I came in. So, so yeah, shout out to Mike, man. Yeah. Mike's always taking care of me. Windy City Limousine provides championship service. Making a reservation is so easy. It's a slam dunk. Let Windy City break the full court pressure of traffic to get you to your destination in style and on time. Contact Windy City at 847-916-9300. That's 847-916-9300. Or go online to windycitylimos.com.
And all you criminals out there, stay out of Whisper's neighborhood.
Yeah, stay out of there.
He's had a rough time.
Yeah, stay out of there.
Wow.
Yeah, stay out of there. Yeah.
It's a rough town, man.
Chris Hansen on you. We'll pull a Chris Hansen on you. Don't do it.
Yeah. So what happens when you're done with the cleanse? How do you celebrate that?
Cleanse.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and get a big nasty steak, a few beers. It's not going to be pretty.
Destroy just all that work you've done.
And you know what it says? Yeah. It says you have to ease yourself.
Sure.
Back into it.
Yeah.
No, you got to blitz it.
That's the way you live your life. Yeah.
Nah, after the cleanse, he's going straight to the steam room. And he's going to sit in there.
Man code violation.
Yes. There.
What the hell? That's a new violation, son.
Yes, we can say it. Yes, we can. He's going to the steam room because, you know, he'll have his abs be you know, some definition of his abs because in 5 days of not eating anything but just drinking juice.
Yeah, he's not going to show off a six pack. He's going to drink a six pack.
And then, he'll be out there, you know.
He bounce right back.
Just a liquid diet. That's impressive, though, for him to be on liquid diet. That's impressive.
And this one's actually healthy.
Yeah.
As opposed to the usual liquid diet.
He let me taste it. He let me taste his little watermelon water.
Yeah. I mean, beer is plant based. Yeah, it was a lot of water in it.
It wasn't that good. It wasn't that good.
Well, there's no sugar in it.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
How many more days, Whisper?
Four more. This is the first day.
Oh, he just started. Oh, my goodness. Oh. And Maddie was kind enough. She brought enough pizza to feed an army and wings and the whole bed. And Whispers is drinking water.
Yeah, I get
water.
To stare at it.
Yeah, that's all I can do is stare at it, America. It's okay, though. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah. We want to thank our guest, Greg Kelser. He was fantastic talking about playing with Magic Johnson on a 79 Great title guest. Team. Of course, now he's a broadcaster for the Pistons, and he was over in Paris for the game with the Bulls and the Pistons earlier this week. Bulls have a busy week coming up with four games, a chance to maybe move up in the Eastern Conference standings. You want to tell the folks about our guest coming up next week, or is that still under wraps? Can we announce that or no?
What day is that?
February 1st.
Oh, February 1st. We got a surprise guest, ladies and gentlemen. The one and only Michelle Beadle will be on the show.
And she will bring the hot sauce.
Yes. And wait a minute. Future guest, America. The big baller himself.
Yeah.
LeVar Ball, baby, will be on the show at some point. I had an opportunity to talk to LeVar in Paris. Yeah. I tell you what, a very entertaining guy, man. He's going to give me some big baller gear. He's going to send me some. I just talked to his guy, Joe. They're going to be on. He's going to be on the show. We're going to get some. Get some big baller. Y'all not getting any big baller gear. It's just me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the Sriracha crew, I'm getting them some.
All right. So look forward to that. Some more A-list guests coming up on Give It a Hot Sauce.
I'm sorry, guys. I just lied. You're not getting shit. I'm sorry, guys. It's just a thought. I just wanted to sound really cool on the air. I'm sorry. D, for your little comment earlier, you're not getting nothing. Okay.
Hey, thanks to all the folks on the YouTube chat. We'll be coming at you again next week with a brand new episode. That's going to do it for 115. It's in the books.
115. Drive home safe to Chicago.
Preseason, but I'm high field thought. Buckets. Oh my goodness. Give me the hot sauce, Bill Funk. Give me the hot sauce.
What are you doing, Dragic? Did you not get the memo? Derrick Rose can go upstairs.
Let me step back and kiss myself. MVP time. Windy City Assassin does it again. Big time players.